Are you ready for AI to take your job? To stay ahead of the machines, you're likely going to have to get better at what you do. But how? The science of skill building is complex, but there are reliable methods you can learn to enhance your knowledge and ability in your chosen field. Methods taught by Matt Bean in the new book, The Skill Code: How to Save Human Ability in an Age of Intelligent Machines. Matt is an assistant professor in the Technology Management Department at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and a digital fellow with Stanford's Digital Economy Lab and MIT's Institute for the Digital Economy. His work has been published in journals like Administrative Science Quarterly and Harvard Business Review. Here he is to share some of his big ideas.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Bean, an assistant professor at UC Santa Barbara and a researcher focused on how we build skill in a world filling with intelligent technologies. My research takes me into all kinds of fascinating workplaces, from operating rooms to warehouses, where people are learning to work alongside robots and artificial intelligence. Today, I'm excited to share with you five key insights from my book, The Skill Code: How to Save Human Ability in an Age of Intelligent Machines. The first insight is about a 160,000-year-old school hidden in plain sight. Consider Athens, 507 BC. 12-year-old Menelaos begins his second year as an apprentice to Stephanos, the master sculptor. Today, he walks to the carpenter's workshop for lumber, then to the brasssmith for pins and braces, brings it all back, and keeps it organized as the senior boys finish up the scaffolding for a new piece. All day, he hauls blocks of marble around the workshop directed by the senior boys, who take their cues from Stephanos. As the sun goes down, he's cleaning up after everyone. Throughout, he's been watching, noticing the marble scraps and bent tools, listening as they told stories and talked technique, asking a question or two while he did his work. Next year, if he works hard, he'll be splitting the marble, keeping tools organized and sharp, and learning about the next tasks up the apprenticeship chain, roughing out blocks, negotiating for supplies, talking to customers. 6 years later, he'll be carving his first solo work on the outskirts of the city, apprentices looking up to him. This is all likely true, by the way. We have one of his masterworks, a marble statue of Orestes and Electra signed Menelaos, the pupil of Stephanos. When it comes to skill, ability we can rely on under pressure, this expert-novice bond has been the foundation of skill development for millennia. In fact, the archaeological evidence is pretty clear. It's been in place just about as long as we've had language. About 160,000 years. The second insight is the skill code itself. Over the last 12 years doing research on technology and work, and a year and a half studying over a dozen scientific disciplines, I've found the hidden code that makes the expert-novice relationship so powerful. When I say code here, I'm talking about something like the DNA of how we learn our most valuable skills. That working relationship between experts and novices is a bundle of three C's that humans need to develop mastery: challenge, complexity, and connection. Work near your limits, engage with the bigger picture, and build bonds of trust and respect. Like the four amino acids are to genetics, the three C's are the basic building blocks of how we learn our most valuable skills. Look back and you'll find them embedded in Menelaos' story. You'll find them in your own journey to mastery and in how you've helped others build mastery. But knowing the building blocks was just the beginning with genetics, and it's just the beginning with skill, too. Challenge, complexity, and connection need to occur in certain healthy, sometimes counterintuitive, ways to produce reliable skill. Sometimes these follow specific sequences that we're used to, that map with our beliefs of how skill development happens. But our world is changing. New sequences are emerging, others dying off. And one size doesn't fit every person, occupation, or organization. So just like in biology, knowing this skill code empowers us not just to recreate the 160,000-year-old school, but to help us identify and preserve healthy skill building in any form it might take in this dizzying modern world we're building for ourselves. Insight number three is we're breaking the best school we've got right when we need it most. If we don't put knowledge of the skill code to use right now, our species is in deep trouble. we're handling technologies in ways that subtly degrade human ability. In millions of workplaces, we're blocking the ability to master new skills because we are separating junior workers from senior workers, novices from experts, by inserting technology between them. In a grail-like quest to optimize productivity, we are disrupting the components of the skill code, taking for granted the necessary bundling of challenge, complexity, and connection that could help us build the skill we need to work with intelligent machines. Let's visit Kristen in the OR to see how this is playing out. 6 months after her open surgical rotation, she wheels a prostate patient into the operating room where a four-armed, 1,000-pound robot is waiting. The attending surgeon attaches the robot to the patient. They both rip off their scrubs and head to control consoles, say 10 or 15 feet away, to do the whole operation remotely. Kristen just watches. As her attending manipulates the robot's arms, retracting and dissecting tissue, just like many intelligent machines, ChatGPT, for example, the robot allows him to do the work himself, so he basically does. He knows Kristen needs practice. He wants to give her control, but he also knows she would be slower and make more mistakes, so she barely gets to try. No chance she's a better surgeon after this procedure. I have top quality data on this problem from all sectors of the global economy, and I'm here to tell you the same goes for hundreds of millions of us around the world right now. This is a multi-trillion dollar problem. Insight number four is about learning from the shadows. Despite insight number three, the skill code is not a "the sky is falling" kind of book. I bring good news from the front lines. In my research, I've gone to great lengths to find people who are systematically defying the odds and getting good skill results. Faced with the erosion of the expert-novice bond, some people are finding a new way that the rest of us and our organizations can learn from. Take Beth, another surgical resident who, on paper, was in the same spot Kristen was in. They were in the same top hospital. She came from a similar medical school with similar courses. She had the same attending surgeon, similar patients, and the same formal training in robotic surgery. But right away, I could tell Beth didn't feel frustrated, bored, and shut out of the learning process like Kristen did. And that's because she wasn't. Every time she came into the OR, the attending let her operate between 10 and 50 times as long as Kristen. And where Kristen looked like a baby foal learning to walk on some ice, Beth was good. What was going on here? It turns out, like a small, invisible tribe of workers I've found around the globe, Beth was a bit of a rebel, but one with a cause. Skill. The approved way to learn robotic surgery didn't work. People like Beth intuitively found rule-bending ways to build skill anyway. In her case, try watching tons of surgery on YouTube and operating on patients with limited or no supervision. Cringing yet? You're paying attention. I called this shadow learning for a reason. But at a high level, we need to learn here. Shadow learning gets results for workers who could be shamed or even fired for it. It has to work to be worth the risk. Their tactics and the skill code that underwrites them are crucial for the road ahead. Insight number five is about reworking the skill code. We need to go further, much further, than simply retrenching to protect the skill code. Intelligent technologies can, and in many places, must be part of the skill solution. You may be tempted to conclude we're living in a John Henry kind of moment, where it's techno-productivity versus human ability. But my findings show we can transcend this dilemma. In many cases, we can get new, breathtaking results only by augmenting the skill code with intelligent technologies. That's right. Part of the problem is necessary for the solution. But it's not the volatile part. Remember, technology itself is not causing any of the problems we're experiencing with skill. We're the ones striking a deal with our increasingly intelligent tools. Offer us techno-enhanced productivity, we'll sacrifice the expert-novice bond. My work shows us that deal is optional. But to really supercharge our skill development, to levels yet unseen in the history of our species, we need a new, always-on, accessible, globe-scale infrastructure for ensuring healthy challenge, complexity, and connection. Humans alone aren't capable of something so complex. We need the best of human and non-human intelligences to make that vision manifest. Right now, we could have systems that coach us towards more productive outcomes, for example. Then, if we ask ChatGPT for a persuasive email, we might write the first prompt and the system would reply, "I've got to ask you a couple questions to make sure this gets you the sale. And by the way, do you want to get better at this by the time the email's done, or maybe get an intro to an expert on this?" That would take only a few extra minutes. No human in the loop, just an AI-enabled engine that has two objectives: get the user the results they want and nudge them towards more skill.
Thank you, Matt. That was Matt Bean with five big ideas from The Skill Code: How to Save Human Ability in an Age of Intelligent Machines. Also, check out our book bite for Future Proof: 9 Rules for Humans in the Age of Automation by Kevin Roos. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.